Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 83, Your Loaves in His Hands. Today is Friday, January 30th, 2009. Let's hear from Alice's Restaurant. Hello, and thank you for joining me today. Episode 83, Your Loaves in His Hands. It's an excellent message. You're going to get so much out of it. It's so good, really good. It's very long, so I'm going to keep these this intro short. Just a couple of things I need to mention here. Number one, I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. And I want you to go to www.pastorpaul.org. Up at the top of the homepage, you're going to see an interactive link to the blog. And when you click that on, you're going to be able to see the show notes that I prepared for you for this podcast. Be sure to go to the different links. I do have a scripture link, John, and I also have some bonus links to shop.org, University, QVC, Andy Noman, Andy Cernovitz. So be sure to check those out. I'm going to be attending the shop.org conference Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I'm really looking forward to that, innovation and strategy for our e-commerce site. So hopefully I'll be just learning all kinds of things. And, you know, actually, I think I'm actually graduating. You know, I'm like a two-year student. I've been going for 2 years. And I think this is the year that I do my actual internship. Let's put it that way. So you're going to see some things on our shopping site. So I'm very excited about that. Also, I have a correction. This is embarrassing. Nah, we won't go there. But I have to tell you what I did. You know, I was busy putting links together. As you know, if you joined me last Friday or Saturday for our last episode, and I had links, let's just say it was kind of a shooting your arrows in the arts, okay? We had just some great, I love the video, the opening video, and we had Cher and Sonny and Pastor Paul's message, and, you know, we had comedians and music managers and everything. But then again, at the very end, we had Sarah Bernhardt, who I thought was doing a passionate prayer, because, of course, I don't speak French. So I just quickly kind of put her together with Bill Maurer, and how was that? That was better, wasn't it? Maurer. And so I put Sarah and Bill together, and I came up with this link for her where she is, and I just looked at it really briefly, and it said, an excerpt from the play of the same name, a spine-tingling tirade from Phèdre about her illicit passion for her Greek stepson. No, I didn't see that. I read it, illegitimate Greek son. Okay, so there goes the mistake. What can I say? I put a link there. So for all of those of you who speak French, who are probably laughing hysterically, thanks. Very cruel. But what can I say? To me, it was like a prayer. But that's all I can say about that. I did put an oops, Phèdre link and a little notation that says, well, this proves the value of a higher education since, you know, I'm kind of a junior college grad. That's it. I think I've covered everything and then some. So the message is good. Be sure to join me next Friday. And also, I want you to check out Twitter, because I do the Let's Get Ready to Rumble when I'm recording Pastor Paul's message and doing the episode. I do little tweets about what's happening as I'm listening. And so today I just was drained after his message because it was just so good. Join me next Friday, episode 84, A Generation of Wild Asses in the Wilderness. That ought to be good. God bless you and have a great week.
Hold our loaves in his hands. And it's taken out of John 6 and 11 and says, Jesus took the loaves. Tonight, Len, let's visit a place some 2,000 or more years ago where we see 5,000 people sort of like on a hillside here. And they're all hungry. There's no corner stores there. There's no McDonald's, no Perkins, no Olympic Cafe, only the countryside. Then we have the provision. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You got the picture now? Here's the hillside. All the people there. Nothing to eat. They're very hungry. They've listened to Jesus all day. The provision for the whole room, the whole people there, with all of them, was 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And I believe in like manner, only a few hold the bread of life, Jesus Christ, in this world. Just very, very few in relation to the whole world. What will you do with your bread of life that you have? That's a question tonight before we start. Hide it in your basket? Hide it in your person? Sometimes people are saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and they hide Jesus within. What will you do with your bread of life? Will you give your life to gain it? Once again, I have learned only one thing I can share, and that's the gospel. I went out this week. I went to a school, and there was some 750 in the assembly, the first assembly. In the second assembly, there were 750, and I promised the Lord I'd never get up. Never, without ministering the gospel, whether it be at a funeral or a wedding or whatever. Or a businessman meeting where I ministered at, or wherever I was, I would always minister the gospel. You must be born again. So I had something else on my mind, and they gave me 5 minutes. And I got out there, and I felt the anointing started to come all over my whole body. I was supposed to be talking about something else. And I started to minister the gospel, and I started to get into the power of it, and all of a sudden I pulled back. I went out in the hall where we had all of our flyers and things, and I was upset with myself and angry. Because I had given up that opportunity, that 5-minute opportunity, and you're not supposed to minister, a pastor never gets in the schools. And so I was out in the hall, and the principal said, "Oh, gee, you were shouldn't have done this or shouldn't have done that." And I hadn't really felt I'd really let it go. So the second time I came in, and I pulled back again. Well, let me tell you, that whole night, I wrestled with myself. Because when I was up there, I didn't want to get this out, what I was going to get out. I wanted to get out what Jesus had me to put out, and I didn't do it. Once again, I'm going to say to the Lord, by your grace, I'll never do that again. I had an opportunity to minister to 1,500. Well, probably the first 750, and then they would have kicked me out. Hearing what I'm saying? And so I wrestled with that all night, and the Lord says, well, there might be a little bit of pride involved there, Paul, because you always tell people you always minister the gospel, and you didn't do it. And so I had this dealing and this chaffing of the Lord, and I wrestled with it. The Lord says, well, you know, you just go on. Now, forgetting those things that are past, press forward towards the high mark, the calling in Christ. You share that with somebody. Will we share? See, we're facing emergencies all over, aren't we? Starving millions. Looking for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Will we share? But Jesus was equal to the emergency. They were all filled. And now he even has more left over. More power. Then should we shrink back? Will not God supply? He will not, it says in the Bible, desert his people in their spiritual need. Any more than he filled the hungry crowd long, long ago. Now we'll look back at these 3 biscuits and these sardines. Not much for 5,000 people, is it? Not a whole lot. Number one, I shall say of these loaves and fishes that they had a precious history before being, let's say, mentioned even in our text. They had a wonderful prehistory. Then secondly, when we get into our text, we shall find these little things in a very grand position Jesus took the loaves. What a grand position. Jesus took the loaves. Now we are something. Oh. Then thirdly, and therefore, I like that word, therefore. Kind of reminds me of my in closing. And therefore, thirdly, they will have an after history which is well worthy of being noted. Therefore, being that Jesus had touched them, held them, they're going to have a great after history. You're going to hear about them for the eons of time. Because when things get into Christ's hands, they are in a very focus of miracles. Oh, glory to God. How many are hearing this? They are ready for a miracle. I needed several hundred dollars for some bills that we have here at the church. We go through several thousands here every month feeding the poor. Now I needed a few hundreds. And two people came in and gave us that few hundreds. You know why? Because I put it in God's hands. God met our need. Are you hearing this? But see, as people, we need to make adjustments. I made an adjustment in my life. And all things are working together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. And you know what happened? When the Lord spoke to me and He says, Paul, could it be that there's a little pride as far as that thing is concerned in your life, that you always preach the gospel? And it got dealt with, and glory to God, I am glad. Say amen, somebody. It's the only way we get healed if we'll face the truth. And always just before a humbling, there's something that shows you what's going to happen. You don't listen, so you get humbled. But it makes you ready for a greater move in God. Say amen. It isn't all bad. It's good. It clears out all the junk. And so we will begin by saying that these loaves and fishes had a previous history. Andrew, it says to Jesus, there is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes. Notice first then the providence of God in bringing the boy there. I mean, God, before all this happened, had to bring the boy there. He had to set the scene. A lot of times you think, oh, it just happened. You remember when God prepared a fish? That fish had to be prepared. It had to be a little bitty old fish. It had to have a mommy and daddy and then be up. And that little bitty old fish had to grow into a great big old fish before it could take care of Jonah. And God had made the way, the providence of the Lord, that previous history, that providence of God. Think about the prep work. Think about the prep work before God even got me to where I'm at today. And to where you're at today, there was a lot of preparation. Chipping and chiseling and banging of your head and all of that. Praise God. So you'd say, ouch, I'm ready for God. I quit. I give up. I surrender. It ain't working. We don't even take that into account. We're just thinking a lot of times, oh, I was lucky. You weren't lucky. If I was to go by that, I was unlucky. I was in boys' schools and jail and Skid Row, the works. But it brought me to the point of surrendering to the Lord. We don't even know this boy's name, do we? Nothing is said about his parents. And I thought as I was reading this, maybe he was a peddler. We thought he could make a few bucks here as these people came to him. He was nearly out. Or then I thought maybe the boy was following the apostles to carry food for them. Well, we don't know much about him, do we? No. But he was the right boy, and he was in the right place that day, and his name does not matter, no, not one iota. See, he had the goods, he was prepared, and he was ready. Oh, be ready, folks. When God comes to get you, you'll be ready. You Christians, you're born again already. Well, get ready. Be on the active duty list. Don't be on the inactive list. Just sort of sit. There's so many inactive people. You couldn't wake them up with a foghorn if you put it right over the top of their head. Sluggards. Inactive. You see that in your jobs, don't you? Inactive people. A lot of people are inactive, dormant in their marriages. Laying dormant. What good are they? Do you ever have a dormant husband? I didn't say doormat, I said dormant. See, I believe Christ is never in need, but he has somebody at hand to supply that need. There's always somebody that God is going to use to fulfill a promise. Are you ready? If you're not ready, God will go to the next person. You see, because his will be done. I believe we should tell people, have faith in the providence of God. Now, if we believe that, we say, the providence of God before the foundations of the world has probably, I know, has already chosen me for a work. And that'll make you expectant, won't it? I don't expect something to happen. My God, if you don't, you're going to die right where you're at. Well, what made the boy bring the loaves and fishes? A person asked me. I said, well, I don't know. I thought to myself, and I said to him, actually, boys often do unaccountable things, don't they? Did you ever, at home, you did something, and you just stand, you scratch something? He said, what'd you do that for? I don't know. Or hang on the kitchen doors or cabinet doors and it's all bent. Oh, why did you do that? Haven't I told you repeatedly in time without number, you dummy? Why did you do it? I don't know. Why are you bouncing on the bed? You broke all the legs. Why did you do it? I don't know. Did you ever check out an 8-year-old's pocket? Does it have any rhyme or reason? Rubber bands and paper clips and slingshots and frogs and ants and toads. But anyway, the fact remains, he brought the loaves and fishes, and that's all that God tells us. God knows boys, and he had this one appointed to be there. People, let's start to believe in the providence of God. Do you think you're here just because you just happen to be here tonight? You ever been someplace and you say, you know, I think I've been there before. I think I heard this very same thing before. God just given you a peek into what? Gave you a peek into a future thing. And you say, I know I've been here. And so some people get all sort of dumb and quizzical and all kind of back in this thing, you know, sort of like witchcraft. And they say, oh, I'm coming back. I'm in a second life or something like that. Let me tell you, one life is enough. It's given man wants to live and wants to die, and that's plenty. How many hearing this message tonight? I don't have to travel to Africa to feel the providence of God. Sometimes you think we have to go way off to feel the providence of God. No, no. It's happened to me right at my desk. Someone will come, and I have prayed about them coming, and they're standing in front of me. I just got done praying about you. I just dreamed about that the other night. I just thought about that the other day. Even in the pulpit, sometimes a revelation will come. And I know it's the providence of God that someone walks in, someone comes in, someone gets saved off a message. or even in my bed, I wake up and I know it's the Lord. Sometimes in the shower. Sometimes you sitting here in your church pews, you know it's the providence of the Lord that you were there at that very time, and God quickens your ear to hear a word especially for you. Sometimes when you're driving, because God is with us in all of our common lives, and so many times we don't think God is with us. He's with us all the time. But us also then believe in His providence with regard to the church of Jesus Christ. He will never desert His people. He will find them when He wants them. When God wants you, He knows where to find you. Doesn't He? And God finds us in some pretty embarrassing places sometimes, doesn't He? Say amen, somebody. And all of a sudden, you're just, you Christians listening on the radio, probably, you're a wine sipper, and you go out and you sip wine all night, and you come with the great big old red bugged out eyes. But somebody caught you coming out of the bar. Or maybe you're a preacher and you went down to Kansas City, here I come, and you got down inside there and you went into some old dirty movie and someone caught you coming out of there. Providence. God's way. God knows where you're at. God knows what you're doing. Isn't that wonderful? God knows what you're thinking and He still loves you? That's a mystery, isn't it? Well, it is for me. How many of this is a mystery? God still loves you. This is for me. This is for sure. Every day I know it's a mystery, but I'm going to receive it. I ain't going to argue with it and lose it. I was thinking about during Luther's time, there were many quiet-mouthed people that knew the gospel just as well as Luther did. But God had to choose a loud mouth. His friend says, hey, keep quiet, slack off on this, you get kicked out of the Roman church. And I believe God right now has called men to get back to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I pray that God continue to use me ministering the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe God has never come to a point of distress as to His truth, but what suddenly one came forward. Someone came forward. Oh, when His truth got in trouble, David and the slingshot came forward. Praise the Lord. Samson or Moses or Elijah or a Paul or a Peter or a John or a John the Baptist or Jesus. Whenever the truth needed to be proved, whenever it needed something, God put in a man. Call it what you will, but God has chosen people. You're chosen people sitting in here tonight. There's always a man God sends. It's called providence. Next, the boy with the loaves was brought into notice. No name, never mentioned before, a boy was brought up front because he had loaves and fishes. And it says that Andrew found him out and told Jesus, there is a lad here with five loaves and two fishes. And so rest assured here tonight, if you have the bread of life and you are willing to serve God with that bread of life that you have, you never have to be afraid of obscurity. Don't be afraid that you'll never be found and be used of God because you're a dishwasher or a truck driver or a floor sweeper or whatever. If God's going to use you, He'll find you. Well, God found me on the floor of a bar. Wouldn't you say that was a pretty good hiding place? I tell you, if God's going to use you, He finds you and He picks you up and He uses you. And that's the way it is. And if He won't be used, you'll just get miserable till you bend to the will of God. Let me tell you, I was miserable for years. Because God, when He has His hand on somebody, is not going to let him go, but He's going to cause that poor person to get up off it and to do what He's called him to do. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that wonderful? I thank God for it. I was almost 40 when the Lord found me. Oh, God, how old are you now? Never mind. Oh, my. But I hear someone say, but nobody knows me. How could God ever use me? I'm nobody. Now, let me tell you, it's no great thing to be well known. After that you are well known, you'll wish many times that nobody knew you. Get so now, even on the radio, I can't get by. If I'm in a grocery store and I go to I laugh, and I got a certain way I laugh, someone says, are you Pastor Paul? So you catch yourself, if you don't feel like, you know, a whole lot of people that particular day, you catch your mouth so you don't laugh too loud. Or maybe you just want to go someplace and be alone. There's always somebody that knows you. Oh, are you sure you want to be well known? Oh, God. How many are hearing this message tonight? Don't worry about being well known. If God's going to use you, He's going to use you, and your time is going to come. If you're ready for the Lord, Lord, say, I'm going to pick this man up or this woman up, and I'm going to use him. He who can work away and work away his life for Jesus with nobody to see him, I think a lot of times is the happiest man. The Lord puts him in some places and says, clean that church and clean it until you leave this earth or till the kingdom come or till the rapture or whatever. And he's faithful in doing that. That person, because that he obeys God, is storing up riches in heaven, and probably surpassed the preacher and all the past preachers and everybody else, because he was obeying God in what he was doing. Say amen. God is no respecter of persons. Maybe you're sitting around with only a lunch bucket. Do not despair. When God wants you, He knows where to find you. You don't have to advertise in the Minneapolis paper or buy a Watts line. He knows where you are. You don't have to push yourself up front. You don't have to pump yourself up. And you don't have to, you know, every place you go, quote Bible verses so people will know you're spiritual. You don't have to talk in the king's language so that people know that you're holy. Where art thou going today? Willest thou come? Huh? Well, that's the kind of way we are sometimes. We want to push ourselves forward. Oh, you know me, don't you? I'm Pastor Paul from Disciples Ministry. Yeah. So what? All right. Oh, you know me, I'm Corey. I play the guitar. Oh, I play a little bit with it. And then you run your fingers up and down, just go all over the thing, then lay it down and sort of walk away, you know. But we all have a tendency to do that, don't we? And someone else is better at it than we are, then we get, oh, what a show-off, huh? That's the way it is, isn't it? I mean, no, we need humbling all the time. Don't worry about it. The Lord will bring you to the front when He wants you. No, not no. Go back and sit down. No, not yet. Go back, sit down. Kind of like a kid when they keep coming up. Are we going now? No. We're not going. When are we going to go? When I say. Huh? I want to go. That doesn't bother you. You still aren't going to go until you're ready. And when Mom's getting her makeup on and things, it could take all day. And I hope you don't want to get there if He doesn't want you to. How many times we think God wants us to be at places because there's going to be a whole lot of influential people there, you know, and So they get an invite for you to come. Could you come to this great meeting of all super spiritual people? And you think, well, I'll try to fit that in. You're already figuring out what you're going to wear and everything else so that you look nice there, you know. Well, I'll try to fit it in. Or someone calls you, well, I'm sure going to try to be there. And you run to the closet, go through everything, see what's going to get, huh? Get yourself all ready and go there and nobody knows you. Furthermore, nobody wants to know you. Isn't that the way it is with a lot of Christianity today? People always want to go someplace and push themselves forward where people want to, oh yes, you probably heard of me. Huh? God, I'm hearing this. I'll tell you one thing, preacher. When you get locked in, I'm talking to these people over here on the radio and tape. When you get locked in down here on the north side, nobody knows you. You are a has-been that used to be. Oh, I thought for grace to work unobserved. To have your talent available to call. Be on call. Be expectant. Don't be all booked up. Sometimes we're so booked up that nobody can get through to us. Well, let's see. Can you go that particular day? And we pull out our calendar, you know. We get calendars all the time. We've got them in our billfolds. We've got them all over in a checkbook. Let's see. That's on the 17th. No, I can't go then. That's no. I mean, no. Looks like this whole month is filled. One girl came and she says, I want to donate some time. And so then I said, okay, what days can you donate? Well, I can't come on the 1st, and I can't come on the 2nd, and I can't come on the 3rd, and of course the weekend, you're closed. Well, then how about Monday? Well, Monday, then I'm going to see my parents, and I'll be gone for 2 weeks. Well, I says, okay, I'll call you back. Called her back, says, no, I can't come the rest of this week because I got to go to, I'm going to do some babysitting. So I thought, well, maybe this all is true. So I called back the next month, and she was filled that whole month. She didn't want to give no time. She was all booked up. God could never use her. Say amen, somebody. Ooh. Ooh. Are you hearing this? And one brought in to notice the loaves and fishes. Listen to it now. It didn't fare too well, did they? They were judged insufficient for the purpose. And they looked at him and he said, 5 loaves, 2 fishes, 5,000 people. And they said, what are they among many? What's this? Is that all there is, huh? This is insufficient. No. Sort of seems here that the boy's candle was sort of snuffed out, doesn't it? Don't we have a tendency to snuff each other's candle out? I mean, school lunch. We need to feed 5,000 folks, and you bring your little lunch bucket. I mean, kid, what good is it anyway? And isn't that what Satan says to many? What's the use of you trying to do anything? You ain't got nothing. And Satan whispers to mom. I have to look all over so nobody thinks I'm talking to them. Satan says, stay home. The family needs you. Yeah, they need you at supper time. That's about it. Stay home with baby. There's diseases, you know, and they could catch a disease. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, there's so many moms that are afraid their baby's going to get a disease. They already got one. They got the mom hang on disease. Oh, baby needs a nap. And some of them kids get 14 naps. They're the laziest kids I ever seen in my life. And Satan says, this kid needs his naps, you know. You can't serve God. You got to stay home because baby might miss. He might sleep right on through his nap. And you know what? Satan knows very well by sustaining grace, you can't. You can't be used of the Lord. You see, he's afraid if you serve God, your kids will become workers for Jesus Christ, worker Christians. Like pesky little ants, don't you see? They'll serve the Lord. Oh, he hates that. Moms take their kids to church all the time, and their little ears are hearing that gospel music and praising the Lord and all of that, and they're not all bundled up in their baby bunting at home with a thing over their face and spraying for bugs and, oh, God. You know what you'll end up with? An anemic child. How many hearing this? Now, I know there's people in here think I'm talking to them. People on the radio think I'm talking to them. I'm talking to y'all. And you know, maybe the kid will grow up and be praising the Lord, a little kid. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, Satan hates that. Oh, he hates that. Then the kid will go to school and infiltrate kindergarten. Praise the Lord. Doesn't the world do that? Don't the kids go in there? They're meaner than hell itself. They're not saved. The parents are meaner than hell itself, too. And I mean, that's just a whole group of meaner than hell itself people. And these kids go into school, and they go in there, and they just cause all kinds of trouble, don't they? And there's your little infiltrator. Praise the Lord. Huh? He's not all puny and scrubby and everything from mom hanging on him. He's not all crying and, you know. Huh? The kid's tough. He came to disciples' ministry and a preacher made him behave. Oh, God, help me with this message. And then the kid grows up and he reads the Bible in study hall. And they're reading the Bible. Praise the Lord. He's reading the Bible up there. What are you doing? I'm reading the Bible. You're supposed to be studying. I am. Studying the Word of God. Looking for some direction. I'll open it up here. It says, expert in war. Each man has his sword at his side, guarding against the terrors of the night. That don't sound like no puny old kid, does it? How many are hearing this? Maybe the kid will grow up to be a witness. Start witnessing to people. See, Satan is afraid of what anyone might start to do in God. Because God could raise them up at any time. Maybe it'll be a plumber or electrician or a trucker or an assembler or somebody in a wheelchair. Or secretaries or grocers. Or old people from 2 to 102 years old. And they all carry their little lunch buckets. With their little lunch in there. Are you hearing this message tonight? And they'll carry this little lunch bucket, and God could call on them at any time. How many hearing this? They're prepared. They have everything. And they could be called on at any time. You over there with your little lunch basket, Come forth. There's nothing to eat here, but there's a young boy over there, about 102 years old, and he has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But when those 5 loaves and those 2 fishes are touched by the hand of God, say amen. So don't worry about how much you've got. God may call on you, and remember, 5,000 conversions can happen. Woo! Remember this, that whatever that the world despises and casts out, God calls in. And so here we have a boy with enough to feed himself who was willing to share. The disciples didn't have to use any kind of force. Jesus wouldn't have allowed it anyway. He was willing to give up to the prime this feast. He says, well, I'm going to prime the feast with these 2 fish here. And I'm going to prime the feast with these 5 loaves here. How many of you here in this? I mean, prime time. It doesn't take a whole lot, is what I'm trying to impress upon you. It's just being ready. It's just taking the talents that you have and saying, God, this is all I have in the way of talents, but if you want to use it, I'm yours. And probably someone said, hey, hide your lunch. This is a big outfit here. Let them supply themselves. They have plenty. Don't give to the church. Don't give to that work. They got plenty. They should have prepared beforehand. They should have thought about this months before. Take care of numero uno, all right? Take care of number one. Don't worry about anybody else. But see, the boy that God uses is not selfish. You know, penny pinchers are always busy. You know what they're doing? Pinching pennies. That's what they're doing. Say amen, somebody. I hope I'm speaking to some young man and some young Christian or some young Christian girl or man to whom Satan says, make your money first. Stick to your business. Stockpile your barns. And then after that you've made it, then you can act like a Christian and give some money away, but don't do it right now. See, the boy that we're talking about here tonight gave all and still had his lunch, and ended up sharing in the 12 baskets that were left. You know what? Anything you take away from yourself and give to Jesus is well invested. Is there something you should take away from yourself and give to Jesus? Something that you have given yourself that you should give to Jesus? Not too many years ago, I said, Jesus, you can have my car. It's at your disposal. You can have my house at your disposal. I'm going to invest it in the kingdom of God. You can have my billfold and you can have my life. Well, that was part of my life. I said, you give your life, you give all those things. Isn't that right? I'm going to invest this all in the kingdom of God. Because you see, why, Lord, should I invest in a dead issue like myself? See, Lord, I could have a stock market crash at any time. Right? You know, if you invest in the kingdom of God and give your life, you will have 10,000% to give Christ. How many are hearing this tonight? See, the Lord knows how to give a man who is willing to give his life to gain. And a truly saved man will do it every time when someone is moved by the Spirit to give. Now, I know when people are moved by the Spirit to give. Sort of like, you know, when these guys draw, they get in these cowboy shows and they draw. The guy says, well, gee, I haven't used my guns. He says, I haven't used them in about 20 years. I'm kind of rusty on the draw. And he isn't too good, so he has to practice. See, and it's the same way with a Christian. You know, you can stand there and they say, give, and you can just... But those guys that are rusty, they got arthritis, they can hardly get their hand back in there. They haven't reached in their back pocket to give God for so long that they are slow on the draw. Then when they pull it out, they don't shoot too straight either, do they? They give their money to something over here that isn't even a god. Right? And maybe God will get a ricochet bullet somehow. But they're not free and easy on the draw. They don't hang loose when it comes to giving money. They get all tightened up. See, they just don't hang loose. Okay, now draw for your billfold. You know, people are so used to, this kind of language. Well, now you're talking about money. Now I'm having fun with money. And that's what you should have, is fun with money. You shouldn't be so serious about it. You understand? And that's what keeps people bound up. They're so serious about money. You know what we do with money down here? We spend it. Same way you do. Spend it on food. Spend it on clothing. But we spend it. It's all spent. You know what? You're in the hole right now. You're in the hole every month. Well, you better get a little free and easier on the draw, you know what I mean? How many are hearing this? Are you holding something back from God? Huh? And sometimes we hold back from God, and we have a message like this, and we decide to go to Brother So-and-so's church because they don't ask us for any money. They just say, well, blessed are those that give and those that don't give. No, those that don't give ain't never going to get blessed. Bless him, bless him. He can't give, but bless him anyway. How many hearing this? You better give your lunch. You better give your widow's mite. But I don't have anything. I don't have any talents. Don't have any money. I don't have any time. You're right. You're nothing. Get out. I agree with you. Say amen, somebody. You'd think to hear some people talk, they were dead. And so this is the history of the loaves. They were sent there through God's providence by a boy who was sought out and brought into notice. Ooh, hallelujah. Now it's the same thing that can happen to you. You are sent by God and pulled out, you are out of focus, and now you're in focus, and you're in notice. Because God wants to use you. See, his stock in trade was despised. It wasn't much. Just a few lousy fish and some bread. But you see what happened when he yielded to the Lord? Do you see what I'm trying to get to tonight here? I want you to get a hold of this message tonight. I want you people from 70 years old on and up and from under, I want you all to hear this message tonight, that you got to give God your lunch if you want to have a banquet. Not just talking about money. You got to give God your time, you have to give God your energies, and you have to put your whole life into it. And if it's only that little bit that you can give God, God will cause an increase. Are you hearing it? And now let me show you this, that these loaves got into a great position. The Bible says Jesus took the loaves. Now there you are, and God's got you in position. You were called out and called up, and now God's going to get a hold of you. And it says Jesus took the loaves. Now they're in a pretty good position, aren't they? He took them from the trembling hands of the boy, and they went into the hands of all grace and all power, and here we have the God connection. Now you hear about all these connection movies. Now here's the God connection. You know, when God gets a hold of a man and God gets a hold of their talents, just like getting a hold of this bread, it makes the devil tremble. Say amen, somebody, when God gets a hold of a person. Oh, I tell you, that makes the devil tremble. And this is to show us a whole lot of things, I think, here tonight. First, they were now associated with Jesus. And when they're associated with Jesus, they have the Savior's power. And what a wonderful thing that Christ, the living God, should associate Himself with our feebleness. And with our need of talent, and with our ignorance, and with our little faith. And yet He does so. Isn't that a miracle? And if we do not associate with Him, we can do nothing. The Bible says you must associate. We can do all things well through Christ who strengthens us. Those loaves then, it says, became pregnant with food for all, and out of His hands, they are nothing but in His hands. Look out, there's an association. When you associate with Jesus, something happens. I can always tell when I'm associating with Jesus. Something always happens. Praise God. I want to ask a question here tonight. Have you that love the Lord Jesus Christ thought of this? Of bringing all you love to the Lord? So it may be associated with Him? Bring all you have, all you love to the Lord. Bring yourself. That's the one you love the most. Forget about me. I'll get along. Give your heart and your soul to the Lord. Don't you know? Oh, forget about me. Huh? Or it's the wife. Seems like it's always that way. Well, how about me? Don't you have time for me? Going to church again, huh? Oh, I am so sick. Now, I like to go to church, but, you know, do you have to carry on like this all the time and read your Bible all the time and watch religious programs all the time? There's got to be a stop to it. I mean, how about me? Forget about me, I'll get along. Give your heart and your soul to whoever you know. Oh, don't you worry about me. Huh? You gotta lock them all up. They're in the dungeon already. You don't have to lock them up. God, you're miserable. Aren't they miserable? And then, you know what's wrong? They haven't give their lunch to God. They're holding on to it. And they say, come share my lunch. Me. They don't want to give it up. They're holding on to their little lunch. Isn't that childish? They have their little lunch and they're hanging on for dear life. Their little five loaves and their little fishes. And how about coming and sharing with me? This is their life. This represents their life. This is them. Well, why don't you share with me? No, I've given my life to Jesus. I am fulfilled. Now that I have the fullness of God, why should I come and share your little lunch? I mean, I got everything. What? Now you're saying it. Two fish and five loaves? Give it up, man. Give it up, woman. You're not really living. You're hanging on to your life. How many of you hear this? Hanging on to your life. And if you hang on to your life, you'll lose it. And it seems like I am your life, and you're losing it. You're losing me. By hanging on to your lunch, to yourself, to your selfishness, and investing in the kingdom of self versus the kingdom of God. Come on, honey, let's throw our little lunch buckets in. Did I make myself clear there? How about your brain? It can be associated with the teachings of the Holy Ghost. How about your heart? It can be made to love and it can be warmed by the Spirit of the Lord. How about your tongue? Doesn't it need a God association? But anyway, going on, hear the tender command of the Lord. Bring them hither to me, and your whole life will be transformed. Bring me your lunch. Bring me your life. And in bringing me your life, it will be transformed. Transformation. Change. Oh, God. Ooh. I don't say that every man's talent will develop the same. But what I am saying here is that your ordinary ability will be transformed and transformed perfectly for His use. God will transform your abilities perfectly for His use. See, some people, their abilities are too high for God to use in that certain area, so these certain abilities have to be down here. See, because if everybody was a top musician, nobody would be in Minneapolis. They'd all be over here, And so they're not quite at that level. But they're perfect for what God wants to use them for. Say amen, somebody. Oh, wait, that's why I practice so hard. My fingers are raw from playing the guitar, playing the piano. Well, you're never going to be a Tchaikovsky or whatever, huh? You're not going to be there, but you're going to be here, and you're going to make these people happy, something the people that don't know any better. Huh? They need somebody too. And so you're perfectly fitted for what God wants to use you for. You hear this? I mean, everybody isn't going to sit down and play Autumn Leaves. Who was it that played Autumn Leaves? Whatever. You understand? And so, but you're perfect for where God wants you. Huh? And maybe, just maybe, I'm perfect for the north side here. Maybe I'll never fit in any place else. But God has me here. And maybe no one else would fit right in here, but I'm fitting in here, and that's where God wants me, and that's where God wants you. Understand? Oh, I can see the day when I'll break free from these surly bonds of the north side and fly like an eagle. Where? Where? Huh? I keep talking like that. God will break my wings. I won't go nowhere. Do you understand what I just said there? Maybe you're perfect where God's got you, but you're perfect there. And someone that you elevate above yourself, that's why God's no respecter of persons. Because this person up here that you think is up here, see, you're both really up there. But you're this is the way we think of it, so I have to use our thinking, which is normally stinking. We have to do this so people understand you're not going to be up here because God's got you down here, and this guy up here wouldn't be happy down here. You're always going to try to get better down here, so it'll keep you going.
God, that's sad, though.
No, it's not sad. Not sad at all. What makes you think that the person that's in that position is any happier than you are? He's got more pressures. Huh? I wonder if you preachers listening would be able to take the pressures that are down here. Maybe not. Maybe not. You know what I can't stand? Easy times. I fall apart when things are too easy. I have to have pressure. I have to be under the hurry, hurry, scurry, scurry. Get up and do it. And if I just had a church out in the suburbs, you know what I mean? I never was happy. I had to go out and evangelize every night. I had to go to Wisconsin. I was running all over the country. I wasn't happy. I was sending tapes all over as fast as I could get them out. God says, well, you want to be busy? I'll get you busy. I'll put you down the north side. I'll get busy down there, I'll tell you. People will keep you real busy. Some of them will be in your own church.
How many hearing this message tonight, my God?
Don't sit around and count your deficiencies. Bring what you have. Because your present faculties will have new power. God puts power into our present faculties. God, I can't make it another day. I just can't make it one more day. I can't make it one more day. God will give you power. Don't get your eyes on these different things, these deficiencies. Don't put your eyes, what's right with yourself? Get your eyes on that. And God will give you power in what's right with you and elevate that over your deficiencies. And so now you have power over those other things. That make sense? Well, don't look so blank then. How many hearing this? So many times we get to looking at the things that are wrong with ourselves when we should be looking at what's right with ourselves, and God will give us power with what's right with ourselves, and it will overshadow those deficiencies. Say amen, somebody. And God will just use you where you're at. You people are used in the nursing home. And you're perfect for that. Right? We can't be used in the nursing home. We don't live there. But you can be used in the nursing home. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. It's a commission. Isn't it? Isn't it? Can you be used in kindergarten? No, but your kid can.
Praise the Lord.
Now, you'd look mighty silly going in there with one of them little old dresses and black patent leather shoes on and a little straw hat with ribbon down.
Praise the Lord, huh?
But that little kid that doesn't have the education you have is perfect where he's at. Right? And this little fourth grader with all the frogs and bobby pins and freckles and the hair sticking up and he's perfect where he's at. You understand what I just said there? He's perfect where he is at. And the janitor over in this building, maybe the janitor doesn't have a whole lot of smarts, but he's in the janitor's room and he's talking to all these guys in there. Maybe there's a 35 or 40 janitors in there. You know what I mean? And could you go in there and minister to those janitors? Huh? No, you couldn't. No, you couldn't. Could you? Or could you go, the janitor, could you go into where there's a whole lot of secretaries and minister to them? Whilst you're leaning on your broom, they wouldn't listen to you. Or can the truck driver talk to the to an airline pilot? See, one of they're both over the road, but one's way up over the road. How many hearing this tonight? And so God has to use all these different people. And everybody, boy, I wish I was an airline pilot. And I wish I was in there witnessing to all them guys. You couldn't do it. You're not an airline pilot. You're a truck driver. And the airline pilot can't come down here and witness to the truck driver. And the motorcycle people the same way. Huh? I wish I was a businessman. Now, how would a businessman look like riding on a motorcycle? Huh? How would he look? The suit on and, you know what I mean? He'd tie a bandana around his head here with a suit on. Don't you see what I'm saying? That person is perfect here. And then the motorcycle guy, could he go in the bank with a briefcase? It wouldn't work. Don't you understand that? They're perfect right where they're at. There's no elevation here. It's just God is using you where you're at, and no one else can be used there. You! Am I getting through? This better be making sense, because it's making sense to me. I never really understood that way until I started preaching tonight. How many are hearing this? But also they were transferred to Christ. A minute ago, they belonged to this boy, but now they belong to Christ. It says Jesus took the loaves. He has taken possession of them, and they are his property. I'd like to ask a lot of times a Christian, I'd like to say, not Christian. What you say when you declare that you have given yourselves to Christ, do you mean it? If you have made a full transfer, if you have made the full transfer, then you have been transferred and you have received full power for usefulness. I wonder at that when a person says, I give my whole heart to Jesus, and you never see him in church. And you never see him at special things, and you never see him when something's going on. I give my whole heart to the Lord. You know what? Christians, you listen to me on the radio, you are holding out and you are holding back. When you get a transfer on the bus, you only get a half a transfer? That could get kind of painful. No, when you transfer from the bus, you put your money in. I don't know what it is, probably $1.50 now to ride the bus. How much is it? Some of you people getting cheated in here. I always thought it was a dime, but anyway, you put your money in there and you say, now I want a transfer. You take the transfer. Now don't you get off of that bus and you go over here and then you transfer onto another bus? Or do you sit on the same bus? And you say, wait a minute, bus driver, I transferred. Where are you going? You say, well, you got to get off this bus and you got to get on that bus. That means you transferred off this bus onto that bus. What, are you some kind of a nut? Now get off. And when we make a full transfer and have a transformation, I'm trying to say here, we are transformed into the image of Christ, that there's some kind of usefulness that comes with it. It's a transfer that will take you from the bus of doing nothing to the bus that's going the right way. I'm going the wrong way. I need a transfer. You turn around and go that way. Now that makes sense. See, it's going to make you useful if you use the transfer. I've transferred my life. I have been transformed to what? Riding the same old bus with the same old face? You ever seen people when they're riding the bus? Huh? Because they're going the same way, they're going the same place. The same way, spiritually speaking. If you've had a transformation in your life, you are going to be useful. You're not going to be sitting in R-rated movies. You're not going to be listening and laughing to filthy jokes. Because you've got a transfer. You're on a bus, and on that bus, it's a different bus. It's going another way. It's filled with the joy of the Lord, and it's filled with dedication and plan and purpose, and you've made a transfer, and you're transformed, and you're on that bus. And so you're on a different bus with different folks. Same person, but on a certain bus with a certain type of people. And all these buses are going that way, but they all don't have the same number. They're all going to heaven, but they all don't have the same number. So God puts you with like people. Hasn't got nothing to do with elevation. How many are hearing this tonight? When people have yielded and yielded all, it's going to show. The time you used to spend on yourself, now you're going to give it up to the Lord. Your knowledge is His, what there is of it. Your talents are His, because you're wielded to the world but not yielded to Christ. See what I'm saying here tonight? Your influence is yielded. Your money is yielded. Your position is yielded. Your home is yielded. Your car is yielded. Your family is yielded. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You're a token. Say amen, somebody. To be used. God bought and paid for you. You are a token to be used. To give to someone else. That they may transfer, that they may ride on the bus. How many are hearing this? Whew. God. You know, I started to think today about all this world hunger. You know why we have world hunger? Because Christians are not yielded to complete dedication to everything to Christ. If we were giving everything to Christ and we were dedicated to Christ, there would be no world hunger. No, there wouldn't. Better yet, as these loaves were given to Jesus, so they were accepted by Jesus. They were not only then dedicated, they were consecrated, they were fully accepted of the Lord. And Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and in doing so, He seemed to say, these will do well for me. They are perfect and they are beautiful. And it says that Jesus therefore took the loaves. And what was the reason? Because that they were brought to Him, that's why He took them. They were willingly presented to Him, that's why there was a need for them, and he couldn't be without them. And it says, therefore He took the loaves. They were brought to Him, and if you take your life to Christ, therefore, and I love that word, therefore, God will take you and use you. You got to go to Jesus, and therefore He'll use you. Therefore, woo! You went down on the street last night, and so therefore God used you. You could have stayed home, and so therefore you would have sat home. You witnessed to somebody, so therefore God used you to plant the seed. Isn't that right? Randy wanted to be used of the Lord. And he said, well, I'll go pick up them rolls on, a Monday and Friday. I'll go do that. And so therefore, he's got the job. He brought himself and his services and his little bread basket and his little five loaves and two fishes and said, can you use me, Lord? And so the Lord says, well, okay, you brought yourself to me, so therefore I'll use you to do that job. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it? And Mary says, I'll go pick up so-and-so, and so therefore she picks up people. Here I am, Lord, send me. How many are hearing this? There's a lot to say about them therefores, isn't it? Well, and there wasn't some people here, or there wasn't some people there, and says, let me do it. And you made yourself willing to do it, and so therefore you were used. Isn't that right? You come this morning at 7 o'clock. And there was no one else here, so therefore you got to sweep the floor and scrub the walls. And so I hear someone saying, so what? I was sleeping. Well, therefore you slept. So what about that too? Huh? What a picture. What a picture in the kingdom of God. Well, you were down here scrubbing walls. Well, maybe you didn't want to, but therefore you were here anyway. And so therefore God used you. Everybody else was sleeping. Nobody else would come down here in this great big old church. And so therefore God used me. Isn't that great? You came to church tonight, and so therefore, you got to check me out. So you just see what kind of a nut I was, right? That it infected your sister and your mom. What's going on with these two? You want to check it out, see? You know what I mean? Therefore, you found out. You were right, right? therefore... I love that word. Oh, God. Use all the therefores you want on me. Oh, God, therefore, therefore, therefore. Well, why did God do it? Do you ever wonder why God used you for a certain job? There was a therefore in it, that's why. He saw you were willing to win souls, John, and so therefore he gave you the job of winning souls. He saw souls needed saving and winning, and so therefore, and he used you, even you. Linda, you're here, and you worked the soundboard, and Don and Mick, and so therefore, you're doing it. Well, I couldn't get anyone, and then Mick came along, and he did the radio broadcast. He says, let me do it. I'll do it. So therefore? I just thought as I was getting ready for this, oh, God. What still is better still, these loaves and fishes were blessed by Christ. These little loaves and fishes. Father, I thank you for these. I thank you for them, Father. They were blessed. Father, I thank you for this little Pastor Paul. So I'm blessed. Father, that represents you. That's your life. He gave up his life and gained it. Father, here's little Linda. I thank you for her. And so little Linda is blessed. Father, I thank you for these that you have given me. Now check the scripture out.
I thank you for these fishes and loaves. I thank you for these people filled with the bread of life. I thank you for these, Lord. I thank you for them, Lord. And the Lord blesses them. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God, that people may partake of their life, glory to God, and feel and meet the needs of people as they give their life up for Christ. I thank you for these, Lord. Do you love me more than these? Think of Jesus thanking God for this little bit. And see, it was worth praise. And why was it? Because Jesus knew what he could make of them, and therefore he gave thanks for what they would presently be, what they would presently accomplish. Lord God, he says, I thank you for these. Woo! I thank you for these. I know what they're going to become. They're going to feed the multitudes of 5,000. Lord, I thank you. A sign from heaven. Glory to God. And don't you be looking for signs and wonders, because you are the signs and wonders. I thank you for these. And when you consecrate yourself and your life to the Lord, I just happen to look over that way, honey, because you're receiving the message. I just have to go for receivers. How many here? I thank you for these, Lord, and I hold them up, consecrate them, dedicate them, make them Samsons, make them Elijahs, make them Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego's. Lord, make them Davids, make them Pauls and Peters and Philips. Lord, make them over. Thank you, Lord, for them. Bless their life. Because Jesus knew what they would He could make of them. Therefore, it says, he gave thanks to the Father for what presently would be accomplished by them. And see, God loves us for what we are becoming. You are becoming. Behold all things. You ever wondered about the language of this? Behold, all things are becoming new. Sort of an ever-traveling thing. And that's the way the Lord loves you, don't you see, for what you are becoming. God right now, Jesus Christ, was giving thanks for a little because he saw what they would grow into. God thanks. The Lord thanks God. Jesus thanks God and lifts you up to him and intercedes and say, Lord, Father God, I thank you for this person. Maybe they're meaner than all get out, but it says, Lord, God, I thank you for these people. And so Jesus thought so much of it, the boy was used as an example. Don't be afraid of giving God too little. Don't be afraid because you say, well, I'm just not up to that point yet. I have nothing to give the Lord. Because Jesus loves us not for what we are, but for what we are becoming. By his making. He blesses not so much our offerings, not for their worth, but you see, because his power will yet make them worthy of his praise. God will always cause an increase. And so when the loaves had been blessed, the next thing was that they were increased by Christ. And Peter takes one and he starts to break it. And as he breaks it, he finds out there's always more in his hand, and he keeps it breaking, and he keeps it breaking, and he keeps it breaking. And I believe when we give to God, we'll never run dry. See, you cannot store things up. I guess I've ministered thousands of messages, don't you know? And if I've learned one thing, I don't try to write messages way ahead. You know why? You only get manna for that very day. You only get manna for that very day. And if you go ahead and try to store them up ahead of time, you know what happens? They get stale and moldy and they stink. God will give you what you need in that hour. And so you'll find me in the afternoon getting my message together and hurrying around and praising God and saying, God, help me with this message. I got to get away for just a little bit of time and I got to get together and seek you, Lord. Or maybe burn the candle at both ends on a Saturday night to get a message fresh from the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Why is it? Because God is going to bless that message. It's God's message. And that's when God blesses them, when they're God's message and they're timely. Hallelujah. Preacher, don't you worry about, you know, getting a message and having all your messages all packed up. God will supply the next time also. I always thought when I first started preaching, God, I'm going to run out of Bible. There is no such thing. God's grace is sufficient. There are messages after messages after messages. Even the best sermons, even sermons from God, if you try to store them up. I've had sermons come to me. I'm driving on a Monday. And I'll think, ooh, this is material. And oh, it'll come and a revelation will sweep over me and sweep over me. And I'll start getting it ready and it's nothing. Gone, it went stale. Do you ever do that? Now I got something coming up a month from now. I'm going to study for this whole month and I'm just going to get way down here and I'll have all these pages and I'll have everything together. By the time you go to give that message, it doesn't mean one thing to you. Say amen, somebody. It's got to be right then and there. Oh God. Right then and there. Or it's dry and meaningless. How many know what I'm talking about? It's the truth. You're sitting down, you're reading the Bible. All of a sudden, you get a witness in the Holy Spirit. Woo! Woo! message. Revelation of God. You'd write it down. You get it all ready to go. Woo! And you get up there the next morning. It was for you right then and there to pick you up. And all those little pick-you-ups are getting you ready for next month or next week or the next day. Did you hear that, preacher? And so let me close this message up tonight. Also, the loaves and the fishes had an after history. They got into Christ's hands, and what was the result? Number one, a great deal of misery was removed by the boy's full basket of bread and fishes, that little basket of bread and fishes. You see, the poor people would have famished if it wouldn't have been for him. And so they have a history, don't they? Oh, God. I was thinking of this bread that the little boy gave. I thought, well, you know, why couldn't he talk about any bread? There's bread that goes on kings' tables and presidents' tables. But here in the Bible, we remember this little boy because of these little loaves. Because these little loaves and these little fishes right here, you remember Jesus, do you love me more than these fishes? And you remember the bread of life, Jesus Christ, and you remember yourselves right now, and this represents your life. In all this tonight, what have we said? You give your lunch to God and God will give you a banquet. You give your lunch to God and God will consecrate that and God will consecrate your life and God will use you. Father, I thank you for these that you have put into my hand. Father, I thank you for these sheep. Father, I thank you for these people. Thank you, Lord. How many heard this message tonight? God. Thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you, Lord, that this message of the fishes and loaves was so important that you put it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Thank you, Lord, that it's gone on and on and on and on and on. Thank you, Lord, that we're running out of people that are saying, I pray thee, have me excused. Let me say one more thing before I close here tonight. Why are so many slow in God's service?
You say, let's eat and an army shows, but say, let's work and an army goes. What we got to do is let the Lord hold us up and say, Lord, take my life. I want to be consecrated. Lord, just take me and where I'm at right now and use me. I give up tonight, Lord. I want you to use me. Take my little bread basket here, Lord, and just you to cause a multiplication. And then, Lord, after the multiplication, then you go ahead and you cause the division and divide it up amongst the many. Because I want to give up my life. That's what's going to come to people, giving your life to gain it. How many heard this message tonight? Praise the Lord. Now, is there anybody in here that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior, that hasn't given their life over to God and just simply said, hey, I'm due for a change? Well, I'd give my life up, but I don't want to get like you. It doesn't happen all at once. It happens over a period of years to get this way. Anybody doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior, can have him tonight, and it changes your life? I'm excited about the ministry. There's some really big things in the wind. What? I don't know. They're in the wind. Wait like I'm down, okay? There's some big things going to be happening. I want you to pray, because we're praying right now for warehouse space, 20,000 feet of warehouse space. I don't know, you know, I mean, that's just what I'm praying for, because that's what it's going to take for what we're doing. Praise the Lord. Anybody in here that doesn't know Jesus tonight? Anybody?